And now we're going to hear from God's holy word. The Old Testament lesson today will come from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. I also want you to pay attention to something. The birds have not let up their singing since we started. Let all the earth praise his name. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, and then bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." That's our first lesson for today. Our second lesson comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus said to him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus then said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, you have come here today. You were here before we arrived. And it is here where your Spirit dwells with us, where we come to meet you. So as the song says, Spirit, breathe on me. Breathe on us so that we might be shaped and molded into your children, your disciples, so that we might have the courage and the imagination and the power to dream for your kingdom. Not in the hereafter, but in the here and now, God. Your people cry out for justice, for peace, for mercy, and we ask, O Lord, that you help us make it so. Help us make it so that our children, girls in Nigeria who are scared today because they have been kidnapped. We pray for them, O God. We pray for those in our world who cannot worship you out of fear, who find themselves huddling in small places, in hidden places, unable to worship you and call your name. We pray for those who have not the freedoms that we have. And we do indeed pray for your nation, for this nation, for our leaders. Pray we do, O God, for your justice. Not our justice, but yours, O God. Your loving, merciful hand may it rest upon us. May we seek your will from Washington, D.C. to Clinton, South Carolina, and all the places in between. Indeed, we have heard the prayer today for revival. Let it be so. Let it be so. In your name we pray. And in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen. So, it's still Lent. Still wearing purple. And the reason I bring that up is because Lent is a time when we reflect on who we are and who our God is. We are not God. Sometimes we would like to place ourselves in that kind of authority. But here today we hear the story of Jesus when he's tempted in the desert by the devil. Now listen, you're not going to hear the word devil in very many Presbyterian churches, I know, because I've been to a few. But you're going to hear it from this preacher. And I'll tell you why, because the devil is real. Now that don't mean that you're not responsible for the things that you do. You can't throw it off on the devil like he's your scapegoat. But the devil is real. The devil thinks he tries to convince us that we've got the power. That's what he's doing to Jesus in the desert. He's saying, I've got the power to give you all these lands, and y'all know that's a lie. That's the only thing the devil's any good at doing is lying. He tells us all kinds of things. Like, we got to get right before we can come into church. We got to be without sin in order to come in and be loved by God. Or here's one that he tells us all the time. We can do it on our own. God ain't going to give you more than you can handle. I say that's a load of lies. How do I know? Because we heard this. this morning about a mama going to the hospital. She loses a baby on the way to the hospital. That is more than you can handle. She ain't going to get through that by herself. She's going to need some Jesus. So let me tell you something. Don't you be scared to take your Jesus with you wherever you go. I take my Jesus with me wherever I go. Why? Because Jesus has saved me more times than I can count. And that's what happens in the desert. Jesus says who he belongs to. And he don't do it with fancy arguments. Let me ask you, what anchors you? Because in this moment in the desert, Jesus doesn't pull out a PowerPoint. He don't pull out lots of books, lots of fancy arguments to defeat the devil with. He quotes Deuteronomy, the same book we heard from first. Why? Because he knows those words. He doesn't even have to open the scripture. Now you say, well, that's because he's Jesus. I say, no, that's because he was raised up in the temple. Yeah, he's Jesus. But he was also taught scripture. Have you ever had to memorize something in school? I don't know about y'all, but I hated memorization. Multiplication tables. We had to memorize the Pledge of Allegiance. When I was in school, we still stood for the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of class. I still had teachers that would lead us in prayer before we went to lunch. But I hated memorization. But I'll tell you something. 5 years ago, I was in the hospital trying to have a baby too. And in that moment, when the doctors and the nurses sent my husband out the room, it was time for things to start getting serious. They come in with that big old needle. You know they're going to put in your back. Because I wasn't doing it the natural way. No, no, no. Get me all the drugs you can handle. Thank you very much. But I was scared, you see, because I'd never been in a hospital up until that point. Since I was born, that was the first time I'd been back in a hospital for myself. So I didn't know what to do. So let me tell you what I did. Started reciting the Lord's Prayer. I remember the nurse, her name was Angie. Sweetest nurse, I was so thankful. I had prayed for everything up till that moment. And in that moment when she said, now you got to be real still. You can't move. And I knew she was serious. I bowed my head. And I started saying the Lord's Prayer over and over. That's what Jesus is doing here. I interviewed a soldier one time. He fought in Vietnam. He was a pilot. His name was Lieutenant Robert Fant. Lives in Pendleton, South Carolina, not far from Clemson. And he told me about a time that he got shot down out of his plane along with his co-pilot, who he never saw again after that day, and he landed in a rice paddy in the middle of Vietnam. For the first time, no one knew where he was. He couldn't call home to his mama or his daddy or his fiance that he left back at home, who was waiting to marry him. He had nobody he could call, and he was alone in enemy territory. I said, Lieutenant, what'd you do? He said, well, He said, I went through the Boy Scouts and I was raised in church. So I started thinking about the stuff I learned in Boy Scouts. And then I started thinking about Psalm 23. And he said, as I lay there in the pit where they put me, the soldiers come and found him. Vietnamese soldiers, they found him. And they put him in a pit before they sent him to prison. So there in that pit, all by himself, with nothing, no food, no water, no friends, no family, no Bible, no nothing. He said, all I had to lean on was what I had right here. What I had right here. So he started saying and reciting that scripture in his mind and his heart. And then when he got to the prison, he worked along with the other soldiers to worship using Morse code by tapping on the walls. Now that wasn't something easy to do because those soldiers would come and look for fingerprints on the walls. Any kind of sign that they were communicating with each other. And if they were found out, it could mean death. When's the last time you've been scared to go to church because you thought you might die? I know I've never been there. And I'm grateful for it. I am grateful for it. Sometimes I think the prayer that Miss Bethany... Or Becky? Bethany. Did I get it right? Becky. Sorry. I'm trying. I think the prayer Miss Becky said is spot on. We need revival in this country because sometimes I think we've forgotten what it feels like not to be able to go into a house of worship. Sometimes we take God for granted. So in this season of Lent, I want you to ask yourself what anchors you. You see there when Jesus was promised everything, power, political power. See, the devil said, I'll give you all this. You know the devil can't give nothing. Not a thing. He's lying through his teeth, as my mama would say. He can't give nobody nothing, but there he's trying to tell Jesus that he can give him everything. All that power. And what does Jesus do? Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. He says, Moses reminds people in Deuteronomy in 6:13, that they are to worship God and God alone. When he tries to taunt him by saying, you can turn this stone into bread because he knows Jesus is hungry. You see, the devil, he's going to try to get you where you're weakest. When you're lonely, he's going to say, oh, you're not lovable. You need to go find you a man or a woman. You need to go to the bar. Now listen, I'm not against going and having a drink, but I am against drinking and driving. And I'm not a big old fan of going to the bar to find somebody, I'm just saying. I might make some folks mad when I say that, but that's just me, okay? I'm just saying. So here's what he says. He says to him, the God gives us bread. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know who I belong to, and I will eat again. I am love. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you are not loved or that you're not lovable. Because God loves. loves you. And then the last and final test. The devil says, put God to the test by throwing yourself down from this place. And he quotes 6:16. He says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In each response, Jesus lets the devil know that the devil is not in control, it's God. Because you see, Jesus knows what anchors him. He quotes Scripture 3 times. Deuteronomy was the last sermon that Moses gave to his people before they entered the Promised Land. And my guess is, any boy growing up in that culture, or girl, they had to memorize some of these scriptures. So Jesus is answering the devil with the words from God himself. That's all it takes. What anchors you? When you're in your low place, when you're struggling with whatever storms might come your way. You don't know me yet, and I don't know you, so I don't know what storms might be hanging over you, what dark places might be troubling you. I don't know. But God does. What anchors you? What anchors you in those times? And then, as a community, what anchors us? It can't be those words whispered in our ears by the devil. And he's going to try all the time. He's going to tell you you're not worth it. That those test results are going to come back not good. Or worse yet, that when the test results come back not good, that God's not going to be there through all of it. That you're alone, that you don't need anybody. That God's not going to give you more than you can handle. That you don't need no rest. You got to make that list a little bit longer and just keep checking stuff off. You got to keep proving yourself if you're listening to the devil. You ain't got nothing to prove to God. Nothing we can do will prove ourselves worthy to God. Not a thing. And you're not going to do it by yourself. Ask somebody struggling with suicide. Ask somebody struggling with depression. Ask somebody struggling with addiction. Or better yet, somebody that's had an addiction has gotten over it. Did they do it by themselves? I guarantee they're going to say nope. If they're being honest. They know what anchors them. So remember that today. Remember that tomorrow. Whether you get caught in a rice paddy field, are you just feeling lonely at the end of the day, feeling like nobody's got your back anymore, that nobody loves you, and that nobody cares? God cares. And let me tell you, I'm the pastor and I care. You call me. I give you my number. I care. What anchors you? What anchors us? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are anchored by your word and your spirit. We are anchored here in this place, rooted to this ground. But not because of the building that's on it, but because this is your holy ground. You have set it aside for us. You have given us your holy space as a place to gather and worship you and meet you. But let us also remember that we can meet you Monday through Saturday too. We can meet you in the person bagging our groceries at the grocery store, or at the person walking along the street suffering from mental illness. We can meet you in our family, in our friends. We can even meet you in those whom we hate. Oh, and that's a hard one. Because we don't want to meet you and the folks we hate. We don't want to. We want to be like Jonah and say, God, these folks don't deserve your grace. These folks are not your children. And to which you say, now hold on a minute. Who's God here, you or me? So help us to remember, Lord, that you are God and we are your people, forgiven by your grace, granted new mercies every morning. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Help us to remember today and tomorrow and the next day that you anchor us. You anchor us with your love. You anchor us with your steadfast love. And for that we say, Amen.